You know, one of the things here in Australia that we're most noted for across the world, and we probably should be, it's a great part of Australia, is the Great Barrier Reef. Ask anybody, and if they know a couple of things about Australia, they know Paul Hogan, they probably know Ayers Rock, and they know about the Great Barrier Reef. Well, for years now we've been hearing it is in all sorts of trouble, but the news may not be totally bad. There might be some things we can do to shift its fortunes a little bit. From the Australian Institute of Marine Science, their principal research scientist there, Ken Anthony, joins us. And good morning, Ken. I guess we'll start by backgrounding. What are some of the current issues that we believe may be facing the Great Barrier Reef?
Yeah, good morning, Mark. There's a whole suite, unfortunately. So I think in the last couple of years, climate change has sort of really raised its ugly head, and we've seen two big bleaching events on the Great Barrier Reef. We saw one back in 2002 and 1998. So these things are now occurring at an alarming sort of severity, unfortunately. So that's one thing, and the reef is also facing crown of thorn starfish and water quality issues. So the biggest alarm, I guess, is that some of these we have got control over and some we don't. Climate change is very hard to handle for us, you know, in terms of management. So we need to look at new things.
So we have been hearing particularly about coral bleaching, it seems, for decades now. And I guess we sort of think, oh, gee, how bad is it? The news sounds very bad because it's constantly coming up. And as you said, there's been a couple of major events in the last decade or so. But are there ways we can flick this around and perhaps have a reversal of fortune there?
I think we can, reversal of fortune I'm not sure about, but I think we can give the reef the best chance that we can. And I think what we need to keep doing what we do best, which is fixing water quality, having marine parks that are some of the best managed in the world, and we need to be smart about killing crown of thorn starfish. But it doesn't really solve the sensitivity or the vulnerability to climate change. So this is where we're proposing that we can help make the reef as resilient as possible to that climate change that is going to come. Unfortunately, climate change is a bit like a train that when it starts moving fast, it's got a braking distance. So while that braking distance is kicking in, we need to still give the reef as much help as we can. I think that's the best way to see it.
So I'll just have a look through the article that you wrote very recently there, Ken, and you've mentioned something called assisted evolution. So I guess would that be a part of that, trying to put the brakes on and see what we can do? Can you share a little bit about that for us?
Yeah, sure. So in the conversation article, we just proposed two possibilities. I mean, there is a lot of tools that we can consider, but we thought about two that could work. And the one that we talked probably most about was the one that is called assisted gene flow. It really doesn't have much to do with genes as such. All it says is there are corals out there on the reef that are already hardy, that already have the capacity to deal with climate change. But they're up north, and it's hotter up north. So, of course, they're going to bleach up north. But if we looked at ways of transporting or mixing some of those corals from the warm north down into the cooler south, we could give the south a bit of a head start on climate change. So we could build perhaps almost a full degree or more of climate resistance. So that, to me, is a bit of a low-hanging fruit that could be explored. We're not saying do it now because we need to make sure we do it safely. So that's probably the one intervention that we sort of flirted the most about and say, hey, let's look at all the pros and cons. Maybe there's a way there to help the reef basically heal itself or be resilient.
Well, which would be great to hear. It's great to know, Ken, that there are people like yourself and others working on that and coming up with the ideas that may just be thinking outside the box a little bit. Thank you for sharing a bit of your time with us on that this morning.
You're very welcome, Mark.
Principal Research Scientist with the Australian Institute of Marine Science, and fingers crossed we can see the Great Barrier Reef live on and on and on.